I'm speaking today with Juliette Stepech, who is one of the candidates for the special election of HISD trustee. Juliette, why are you running for this office?
I am running for this office because I have always been extremely passionate about educational issues. The reason why I am where I'm at today is because of the educational system that's available here in the United States. My mom's from Mexico, my dad's from Argentina, and they came to this country seeking opportunity. And they always instilled in us this idea that if we studied very, very hard and we worked hard at our education, that we could be anything that we wanted to be. And I took that to heart, and there was really, my parents said that the sky was the limit. And this was growing up in Pecan Park in the East End. And it was a time where the neighborhood was really transforming. There was a lot of immigrants moving into the community, and my parents were amongst the immigrants moving into the East End at that time. And there was a lot of economic hardships and struggles in the community. But I remember that my parents always said, focus on your education, work hard, and everything will be fine. And I believe that. And so I was able to attend the High School for Law Enforcement and Criminal Justice. And I ended up graduating valedictorian in my high school class. And I attended Rice University and was able to graduate with three majors and with honors, magna cum laude. And then I was able to achieve my dream of becoming an attorney by going to the University of Texas School of Law and graduating. So my reason for running for this position is because I want to give back to my community. I want to be able to show all children that I was able to succeed because of my family, the teachers, the community, and I want to serve as a mentor and example and use what I learned in my educational experience to be able to help children.
Now, you had run earlier this year in the Democratic primary for a district court bench. What would you say you learned from that experience?
From that experience, I learned I had an opportunity, a wonderful opportunity, to be able to travel throughout Harris County. And I saw the wonderful diversity in our community, and I saw some of the tragic inequalities in the community. I noticed that there were some parts of town that did not have paved roads. I noticed some parts of town that had all these characteristics of lacking development, and where the recession hit harder than others. But I noticed in talking to voters, citizens, residents in our community, that everyone had this, you know, positive perspective that if we all work together and we work hard enough, we can achieve our dreams. That idea permeated throughout all the different communities that I visited, and everybody wanting for good things to happen to their families, their communities, and their children. And I believe that running for judge allowed me the opportunity, basically jumping in the deep end of the pool and having an opportunity to meet community leaders, children, citizens. It was a wonderful, fantastic opportunity that I'm very glad that I was able to do.
Okay. What is your assessment today of the current status of HISD in terms of how its schools are performing, how it should be doing? I mean, just give me an overall assessment of the district as you see it today.
The district today, I see it as, you know, there's definitely some strengths and weaknesses. There is a dropout rate that we have to address. The numbers vary in terms of some people saying that there's like an 18.7% dropout rate, whereas other people are saying that it's as high as 40 to 60%. Some folks are saying, well, we have to truly determine how to objectively and scientifically calculate what the true dropout rate is. That is a serious problem that exists in our community. I read a study that said that, well, I can't remember what the actual projected date is, but they said that in the future, in the very upcoming future, 3 to 4 out of 10 workers will not even have a high school education. And that's a tragic statistic that we have to make sure does not become a reality. Every person should be able to graduate from high school and then be able to go on to either a successful career in college or whatever their career choice may be. And so that is a significant issue that we have to address. Another issue is the socioeconomic gap between student achievements in the schools. There's issues in terms, that is something that looking at the diverse population in HISD is something that we seriously need to address. Why is it that there is such a disparity between the socioeconomic groups? There's been programs to attempt to reduce those gaps, but we have to have a very critical analysis of what the problems are and what solutions we can offer.
And specifically, the district you would represent, what is your assessment of the schools that are in your district?
Well, I think that the schools in the district, I went through all of their performance studies in terms of the tax test. I think that you can see that there is a lot to be praised. There's a lot of hard work that's going on in those schools to make sure that the kids are doing performing well on their tax test. But there's always room for growth. And there's always room for these, I'd say every school could be exemplary. And I know that that is a very idealistic, lofty goal. But I look back on my experience, and I said, when I was challenged to do more, I did more. And I believe that we can offer those same challenges to the children in District 8 and throughout HISD. I think that we underestimate the potential of children at times, and that we have to do everything that we can to ensure that we create a culture in which every child feels that they have a chance to succeed.
As you know, HISD has a new superintendent, Terry Greer. A lot of people have strong opinions about him one way or another. I would like to know, what is your assessment of the job, Bob, that Superintendent Greer has done, and you know, what, if anything, you would like to see him doing that maybe he's not doing right now?
I think that, you know, I've been reading a lot of articles, and they go either way. There are folks that are fans, there are folks that are critical. I think that he is, you know, obviously new to the community, and he has attempted to enact some new measures that have received, you know, various type of response from the community. I think the Apollo 20 program is a very interesting, bold new initiative to attempt to improve achievement in those particular schools that are showing that they need additional mentoring, tutoring, and time with the students to improve their scores. And I think that if the Apollo 20 program is successful as it's hoped to be, then that would be something very good that has been initiated. If there is something that I would say to Mr. Greer, it would be that I feel it's very important for the superintendent to participate with the parents, the teachers, and the community, and that they feel that they're also involved in the process. And I think that as a board member, I'd be ready, willing, and able to work with them in every effort that can be made to improve the quality of education for the kids in HISD.
Do you think that the relationship between the board and the superintendent as a general rule should be cooperative and collaborative, or more oversight one way or another? Or, you know, philosophically, how do you see the relationship in general between the board and the superintendent? How should it be?
Well, I think that the board representing the community, you know, both their district and at large, this overarching philosophy, that the board has to serve as strong oversight to make sure that the policies that are attempting to be initiated are successfully performed. And so, obviously, you would want a collaborative process to take place. But I think that it's also important that every person remain vigilant to ensure that those goals are achieved as efficiently and effectively as possible.
And what's your assessment of the state of HISD's budget at this point? School districts all across the state, all across the country, of course, mm-hmm. are in tough budget times, and a lot of school districts in Texas have either been cutting back or holding elections to increase the tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
What is your assessment of HISD's financial picture at this time?
I mean, looking at the numbers, You know, it's surprising. You look at this budget, it's like $1.6 billion, and you look at the allocation per student. I mean, I'm still trying to get a grasp of the enormity of the budget. I know that education is the great equalizer in our society and one of the most important things that we have to ensure is available for all of our kids, obviously. But I think that I would like to get a grasp to ensure that there is transparency in what's going on, that there's accountability, and that the numbers are that our budget is allocated appropriately. Like I said, I've never quite looked at a budget of $1.6 billion before, and I was trying to understand the number allocation in terms of salary payments for teachers or per budget allocation per student and how that translates practically into the operation of the school. I would definitely would appreciate input from the community to have a greater understanding of that and folks that are working for HISD as well.
Gail Fallon, who is the president of the Houston Federation of Teachers and has been a critic of Superintendent Greer, has alleged that HISD has over $100 million in unspent stimulus funds and some other unallocated money from the Texas Education Agency that she believes it should be getting spent to preserve jobs and otherwise shore up this fiscal year's budget. HISD contends that money has been allocated for the purposes it was allocated, and that includes money in next year's budget. What is your do you believe that HISD has spent all of its or has properly allocated all of the money it got from the stimulus and from other sources?
I would say that there needs to be more transparency and accountability in terms of that funding. I think that if there's money available to assist the school children, it should be spent appropriately here and now to ensure that every kid gets the education that they need and that the school districts have the support and the funding to be able to operate efficiently and effectively. I would hope that there isn't a shell game going on in terms of not spending money appropriately. And I think that it's very important that when numbers are represented in terms of allocating the budget, that it's being done with the best interests of the schools and the children in mind.
As you know, the Governor Perry and the TEA Commissioner Robert Scott have declined the opportunity for the state of Texas to apply for Race to the Top education funds from the federal government. However, individual school districts may be able to do that, if not now, then in the future. Do you believe that HISD, as a district, should apply for Race to the Top funds if the opportunity becomes available?
I was reading about Race to the Top, and I was trying to get a grasp of the benefits that the program has to offer, and I was reading how there was a lot of criticisms in terms of the paperwork that needed to be submitted in order to participate in the process, and I also heard that a lot of wonderful programs were not able to obtain any funds, and so there was a bit of a disappointment in terms of some schools not being able to fully Race to the Top is the intention, to begin with. So I think that it's a new program that obviously needs some tweaking, some improvements in terms of allowing the school districts to be able to participate in a more effective manner.
A couple of years ago, in 2007, HISD had a bond referendum to, fund a number of improvements and new construction in schools.
Yeah.
What is your assessment of the current status of their of that bond program?
I think that looking at the ability to create new facilities and ensure improvements in older facilities that are in dire need of anything from plumbing to electrical issues, I think that is that's great. That we definitely need to have a safe, secure infrastructure for the children, the teachers, the principals, and the school employees to be able to work in. I think that there are definitely schools in our community that are in need of whether it be a new track facility or you know, advances in the science labs. You know, those are things that are important for our students and their to be able to achieve more, you know. And it's also a source of pride for the community. Every single, you know, studying political science, back in the day they talked about how schools, whether it be an elementary school, a junior high, or a high school, really draw the community in together. It's something that's beautiful. You know, it's a grassy area with trees, and so it's something that is a part of the culture of an area. Now, with that being said, I've also read, you know, articles about, you know, the Bond Oversight Committee and issues concerning the appropriate spending of the funds and stuff like that. And so I know that there was some type of independent audit of the bond program in which they said that there needs to be more transparency. There needs to be a greater sense of urgency of completing the construction and the tasks at hand. And I think that that's an important part that the board needs to remember that that is part of our oversight function as well, is to ensure that these the funds are appropriately spent in the community and that we do this as effectively and efficiently as possible, because every child will benefit from it, you know, in terms of being able to have an improved school setting.
You've mentioned transparency a few times, so I'd like to ask, do you have any specific ideas on how, as a rule, or as a general principle, the HISD Board of Trustees can improve its own transparency?
Well, I think that, you know, the attempt to the televising of the board meetings on cable is helpful. I think that there could be some better ways of allowing the information architecture on the HISD website to be improved. Because currently there's a lot of information on there, but it's kind of hard to access. I think that there could also be more opportunities for board members to participate with their community. I think that a lot of parents would like to know what's going on in the schools and would like to know and have input into what's being built and what's happening. This is like parents, you know, send their kids off to school every day, and a lot of times they get the most information from their child that comes back and says, well, you know, there's a big old pothole and my classmate, you know, hurt her leg or something along those lines. Like, but it's a shame. There should be more of a collaboration between HISD's board, the schools, in terms of allowing the parents and the community to be able to participate in the process.
As you know, there was a big controversy recently over the way the TEA has been evaluating student growth, the Texas projection measure. Without going into all the details of that, my question to you is, how should schools be judged in terms of their effectiveness in educating students? How should schools, how should student performance and teacher performance be evaluated?
That's like the big question, right? I think that, you know, looking at my experience and experiences of my classmates and peers and folks from the community, I think that there's a certain mystery and alchemy associated with teaching and the learning experience. There is one aspect that says that, you know, if students perform well on a standardized test, then, you know, that means that the program must be working. But, you know, looking back on the experience of myself and fellow classmates, I don't think that it's all about the tax test or one particular standardized test. I think that that is one measure of effectiveness, but there is also so much that must go into a child to ensure their success in the future, whether it be from cultivating their self-confidence to giving them conflict resolution type skills to motivating them. So whereas obviously, you know, you want the children to be able to perform well on their tax exam, you don't want to have that child's studies just be focused on getting through that exam. And there, you know, and just to be honest, when I was in high school, it used to be the top test. Anytime they were talking about those standardized tests, a lot of the kids would get extremely bored, You know, we'd be like, oh my gosh, we got to, instead of doing something that was more interesting to us, we got to study for this particular type of test. And it also, at least I sensed some frustration in the teachers that were having to you know, teach the students towards this test to begin with. And I told folks, it was like, it was, if the kids had a strong foundation, then the test becomes easy. You know, and when you look at the TAF test scores in HISD, you know, students do well in particular areas, but then overall only 69% of the students are able to pass all the areas. So it's almost as if certain schools may have better math and science programs, other schools may have better humanities, like English and social science type classes, and there needs to be an overall development to ensure that a child has a strong curriculum foundation, whatever school they're going to. So that way when they take that test, they're not studying for it, they've already surpassed it. And if a child fails one area, then they get the necessary instruction that they need to be able to pass that particular area. And so going back to how do you assess a school, I went to the High School for Law Enforcement and Criminal Justice, one of the magnet programs, and it was known for its social sciences and government and history. I mean, it's like for future folks that want to be lawyers, court reporters, or police officers. But the math and science program wasn't very strong. And so it was a school that it did have math and science, but it didn't have like AP calculus or I never took a physics course. And so when I went off to college, I felt as though I was behind in the math and sciences, and so I had to play catch up. And so, you know, looking at the criteria for judging, you know, whether a school is successful or not, there's so many criteria that go into it in terms of, you know, will a student feel like they're a successful part of that culture that makes them want to participate and go to class and make friends and later on when they're in the community give back to their alma mater, you know, whether it be in tutoring, mentoring, funds, whatever the case. That is a success if somebody feels that tied to their community. But there's also a need for when that student is able to go to college that then they're able to achieve because they've had the foundation to be able to continue a successful track once they're in college as well. So it's just very, very multifactorial, and I think that we have to look at multiple criteria and making a determination of whether a school is successful or not.
Okay. HISD, like a lot of school districts nowadays, is also concerned about the food that students are eating.
Yes.
There's a Parents Advisory Council that's given some input, made some recommendations, and there's been some changes made in HISD's food service, but there's still, I know there's a lot of things that they're interested in doing. You know, some schools still have soda machines. They still have bake sales and candy sales and whatnot. There's still a la carte menu items that are maybe not healthy. You know, what's your philosophy in terms of how HISD approaches food service, which for a lot of its students represents a good portion of the nutrition they get in a given day?
Yes. The Latino community and also the African-American community, we have higher rates of diabetes and heart disease. And, you know, I've worked with the American Heart Association in the past and different types of measures like the effort to get more activity in PE, you know, which seems kind of ironic. And also understanding that when a child is at school, they can learn something new. I mean, when I was a child, you know, I grew up in a home where our food was predominantly, you know, Latino type variety. And when I went to school, I tried different things for the first time. I mean, I know it sounds odd, but we didn't used to have milk with our meals when I was a child. We'd have Coke, which sounds absolutely kind of odd, right? But when I came home, I said, "Hey, you know, Mom, at school they gave us milk today. Can I have milk with my dinner?" My mom was like, "Well, if you want to, okay." And so it was a modification in our dietary habits at home. I've got something that I learned at school home. And so I am a very strong proponent of healthy, quality nutrition for children, adults, all different sorts of persons. I'm a vegetarian, and I have always been a proponent of ensuring that even in our office, you know, we always have lunch together and we include a lot of fruits and vegetables with our meal. And I think that children that are dependent on these programs to get a nutritious meal are deserving of that. And a lot of, I was reading some of the articles and it was saying, you know, how do you convince a kid to eat broccoli? You know, a lot of times if they have to choose between a slice of cheese pizza and, you know, some broccoli and something or other, they may choose the cheese pizza. But I think that there are options to make that cheese pizza healthy. You know, whether it be introducing like a wheat crust, low-fat cheese, other vegetable options on the pizza. There are methods of incorporating positive and healthy dietary habits into commonly prepared meals. And so that requires some innovation and insight, and it also, but it will allow the children to get some educational ideas about proper food nutrition that they could also go back home and share with their family.
Okay. How would you assess the job that your predecessor, or your Deanna Davila, the previous trustee in this district, how would you assess the job she did?
From what I read and from what I saw in the media, I think that they said that she was an advocate for the schools in her area and tried her best to serve as an advocate to improve the schools in the district. I've never had an opportunity to meet her in person or speak to her in person. And so I think that and other folks on the board, when they were speaking about her in the paper and stuff, said that she will be missed.
Okay. And when people go to vote in this election, why should they vote for you?
They should vote for me because I am sincerely and deeply passionate about improving the quality of education for all our children. I am a product of the East End community. I grew up in Pecan Park. I live in Idlewood. I know the community very well. But I've also am familiar with other parts of the district, like the Midtown area, this area, the Montrose, and I went to high school, at the high school for law enforcement and criminal justice, which is the last high school in the upper portion, which is near the Heights area. So I am one that, though I do know a significant amount, and I continue to live in the East End, I love Houston, and I believe that you know, we can do so many things to improve the quality of education for our kids. And with that deep passion and insight, I also could bring to the table the ability to be able to listen, to be able to work, and I'm a problem solver. I don't believe in playing the blame game, and I want to be able to objectively look at numbers and facts and figure out what the problem is and how we can offer solutions. And I want to work with the community and ensure that there is the input of parents, teachers, and even the students. I want to know what their thoughts are on the issues that they face while they're in the school. And I tell this to folks, you know, quite often, we can learn from the success stories of the children that have graduated from HISD so much. They can tell us about what worked and what didn't work. And recently when they had the forum in terms of folks that were interested in running, I was looking at the graduating class, the most recent graduating class, and one of the stories was of a young man that graduated valedictorian for high school, and how he was homeless. In his ninth grade, for some reason he became homeless, and it was a teacher at FIR that took him in, and it was the entire community at FIR that assisted this young man, and he was able to graduate valedictorian of his class. And so you have success stories like that, and I think we can continue to achieve on just the innate ability that's available in a child.
So. All right. Julie, it's the pitch. Thank you very much for talking to me today.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.